just not enough. Oh, oh, man. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, babe.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
It's like the more you give, the more I want. And maybe that's no lie.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel. Today, we're going to explore the latest on ways of improving brain function. A new study, University of Exeter, that's in the United Kingdom, showing us something easy to eat that can make a big difference. Also, increasing folic acid levels while you're pregnant can decrease high blood pressure in children, Boston Medical Center. Then we're going to look at sulforaphane. That's a phytochemical in broccoli sprouts that ameliorates obesity. Kenzawa University in Japan. And lifestyle choices condition your colon and increase your rectal cancer risk far more than genetics. And that's from the Belvitge Biomedical Research Institute in Barcelona, Spain. And a component of marijuana can help treat anxiety and substance abuse disorders, University of Birmingham, which is also in the United Kingdom. And pot for pets. Owners treat sick animals with cannabis from Medical Express. And also, resveratrol preserves neuromuscular synapses and muscle fibers. And what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you, that's from Virginia Tech University. So we have all that coming to you. Plus today, because it's International Women's Day, in honoring that, I'm going to be giving an audio clip of a large group of women, all Muslim women, who are also standing up against the terrible practices of child marriage and clitoral mutations and honor killings and beatings, the things that no religion should allow or tolerate. And so they are speaking up. They are the voices. So I'm giving them a forum. Also today, I am sharing free as a public service to all the women my newest documentary. In fact, it's not even being released until June on The New Healthy Woman. It'll be on my website, GaryNoel.com or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I think you'll find it interesting. I've brought some of the top holistic women healers and physicians in the United States on this program, dealing with everything from menopause to aging to heart disease and cancers. And again, it's there as a public service. My guest in the second part of our program, continuing with our series of conversations with remarkable minds, will be Professor Paul Craig Roberts. We're going to talk about the hidden hand. I'm continuing with that discussion today about the deep state and who really rules the United States and our major industries. Now, just yesterday, WikiLeaks dropped 8,000 CIA documents. Some are extremely revealing. And then because of that, I want to go back and review some of the things Trump has done. In fact, the very first act as president was to visit the CIA headquarters. So from Larry Chin of Global Research, the CIA's deep state and Donald Trump and his war on terrorism, how do those two connect? And also, are you aware that the CIA is selected what they're calling signature schools, for example, University of New Mexico, and they in turn are receiving like $1 billion to create models for smart cities. That means thousands, if not tens of thousands, of cameras and microphones. So every single person in that city, in every single apartment or building, in the streets and cafes, you'll be 100% monitored. There won't be a single thing you can do without being monitored. Did you know this? Well, today you will. And also from Gary Olson, from Common Dreams, The Deep State versus President Trump. So we have a lot to share. All very timely, all very important. First up, what is the one food that improves brain function as you're aging? Blueberries. Now, you've heard me mention many times, I'm a big supporter of blueberries. I've seen the research on it. This is the University of Exeter, and they're talking about drinking concentrated blueberry juice that improves brain function. And in the study, healthy people who drank concentrated blueberry juice every day showed improvements in cognitive function, blood flow to the brain, that's very important, and activation of the brain while carrying on cognitive tests. By the way, there's also evidence suggesting that improvement in working memory when you're taking blueberries. Now, why? It's simple. The blueberries are rich in what are called flavonoids. And those flavonoids possess antioxidant, anti-inflammatory properties. They also have the capacity to change the DNA and, in effect, heal the DNA. This is from Dr. Joanna Botel, head of the University of Exeter's research. Quote, our cognitive function tends to decline as we get older, but previous research has shown that cognitive function is better preserved in healthy older adults with a diet rich in plant-based foods. In this study, we have shown that with just 12 weeks of consuming a small amount of concentrated blueberry juice every day, blood flow increased in the brain activation and increased, and some aspects of working memory were improved in this group. So that's good. So take your blueberry. Now, the eating blueberries is great. Drinking blueberry juice is good. Blueberry concentrate is better. And best of all would be blueberry powder. Folic acid, we need it. Most people don't get it. But now, according to Boston Medical Center, published in the American Journal of Hypertension, when you're taking in higher amounts of folic acid during pregnancy, you end up having an improvement in the cardiometabolic risk factors. That means, in lay language, the baby is less likely to develop high blood pressure if the mothers have folic acid. I'm suggesting 500 micrograms to as much as 1 methylated milligram of folic acid. Sulforaphane, that's the kind of the smelly part of garlic and onions and shallots, and alpha-lipoic acid and MSM. Well, according to the Kazuwana University in Japan, that phytochemical in broccoli ameliorates obesity. Now, we know that sulforaphane, the phytochemical contained in broccoli sprouts, at relatively high concentration, has been known to exert effects on cancer prevention by activating a transcription factor, what is called NRF2, nuclear factor, erythroid-derived 2, which regulates the balance of oxidation and reduction in the cell, and by enhancing the antioxidation ability of the body and detoxifying of chemical compounds. So you're both energizing and cleansing and detoxifying. On the other hand, when the balance of oxidation reduction is deteriorated as we age or as we get overweight, it's been known to lead to pathogenicity and hence various diseases. So have your broccoli sprouts, which you can grow yourself, and have them as a whole salad, one whole box. And that can flood your body with sulforaphane, and that can help you if you're overweight in the detoxification process. And that's good. Also from Belvitge Biochemical Research Institute in Barcelona University, Spain, they found that healthy lifestyle choices are what prevent colorectal cancer, and it's not based upon genetics. And that is important. Because most people think these cancers are genetic. They are not. All about the lifestyle. So with the information gained by this research, the team concluded that lifestyle influences cancer risk more than genetics. That's good. Eat healthy, plant-based diet. Have lots of good fibers. Drink lots of healthy juices and water. It can help you. And from the University of Birmingham in the United Kingdom, This was published in the British Journal of Pharmacology. Cannabinoid, that's a major component of cannabis or marijuana, appears to have effects on emotion and emotional memory, which could be helpful for treating anxiety-related substance abuse disorders. And quote, cannabis is best known for the high caused by the chemical THC, but it contains many other chemicals with potential medicinal properties, including cannabinoid. That's according to Dr. Carl Stevenson, who is a senior author. This chemical isn't linked to the cannabis high and is safe for people to use, so it might be helpful for alleviating a certain symptoms of these disorders without having unwanted side effects of cannabis. Yeah, he's right, and that's good information. Pot for pets. Owners treat sick animals with cannabis. This is from Medical Express. And they're talking about how a lot of dogs are in pain, especially with arthritis. And instead of giving them painkillers, which is not good for animals or humans, cannabis oil can make a difference. And I absolutely support that. And by the way, I believe that the next big expose will be vets vaccinating dogs and cats who do not need it, do not benefit from it, and actually harm the pet. Yes, we know about processed pet foods, and they're terrible, but we're not feeding our pets enough living foods with rich enzymes and essential fatty acids, but we're also over-medicating them, and it has nothing to do with helping the pet. By the way, if you were to travel with me to Spain, to the mountains, to Greece, to Italy, to France, you would see dogs and cats living into their mid to late 20s in very good health. And that's because of how they're fed. They're not fed out of a can or a box of dry kibble and some processed and highly denatured food. Living food. That's what makes a difference. In fact, my cat, Sally, is 25 years old, just as healthy as she can be. And one of the reasons is that she goes out at night and she finds her food, eats it, comes back in the morning, and then she gets special supplements and special fatty acids to help her immune system. And that's how a cat should be fed. Now, if there are things to feed them, yeah, feed them sardines or wild salmon. And also you can chop up some vegetables as well, which is good, and some millet or quinoa, a small amount, in the diet as well. We're just feeding our animals wrong, and as a result, just like we feed humans wrong, they get diseases and they get sick and die early, half the lifespan that they should. And finally, from Virginia Tech University, resveratrol. That's the nutrient you find in grapes. They found that it preserves the neuromuscular synapses and muscle fibers. That's important because that comes from the grape skin, and which most people don't ever even consider important, but it is. And when you have that, according to this, you're protecting the neurons, and that's important if you're exercising. Published in the Journal of Gerontology on Biological Sciences and Medical Sciences. So, we know, quote, from the study, we all slow down as we get older. Gait, balance issues, and impaired motor coordination contribute to health problems, accidents that occur with aging, and that creates a lower quality of life. So, quote, I believe that we are getting closer to tapping into mechanisms to slow age-induced degeneration and neurological circuits. You bet. I'm glad they're doing this research. Of course, this audience already knows that. I'm sure many of the people here are taking your resveratrol 100 to 300 milligrams a day and finding great results because of it. Good for you. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Noll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. In honoring all the women throughout the world, the one thing I believe that all men can do is to honor the empowerment movement where women have the right to make choices, have a right to understand their body, and if they did have that pure right and insight and knowledge, could you imagine how many women's lives would be saved or improved each year? Think of the women who would not be using synthetic hormone replacement therapy for menopause symptoms like hot flashes because they would be using Dong Quai, Fo Tai, Passion Flower, Vitex, natural techniques that have been used throughout the millennium by women to help them go through hormonal changes without stress. Synthetic hormone replacement therapy increases heart attacks, strokes, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia. Six major killers. And 10 million women in the United States alone are taking that every day. And that's bad because there's at least a 13% adverse effect rate. So we're sacrificing 1,300,000 women's health each year just so pharmaceutical companies can make a profit. So the more we learn, the more we individually know, the more we can share that with others. But also there's another factor. Think of the women living in cultures who are limited in their rights to express, the right of choice, freedom of choice, who can't even go outside without a man's permission, cannot go to a hospital, cannot drive a car, cannot go to school. In fact, not only can they not do this where it is prescribed, but they can actually be arrested, beaten, or killed for doing that. Where their entire societies, where the culture of that society dictates that a woman has no rights. So I want you to hear now from a group of all these are practicing Muslim women who show what's wrong with the male culture and beliefs that deny women their freedom, health, and choice. And they're standing up and talking out and challenging these injustices. Let's listen to them, please.
My name is Raquel Saraswati. I am an activist, and I write about the abuses of women in the Muslim world and worldwide.
I'm Nazi Eftekhari. A lot of the human rights work I do is, I think, in reaction to literally, you know, waking up in the morning and taking these events around the world very personally.
My name is Nazanin Afshin Jam. I'm a human rights activist, and I focus a lot on women's rights issues.
She is a former Miss World Canada.
I'm only one person, and sometimes I feel helpless in a situation, and I wish there was others around me. And that's why I was so pleased in that salon setting to meet other women who are working on different issues for women's rights.
I'm Fahima Hashim from Sudan, and I live there.
Islam is my spiritual journey, and it is part of that journey that has brought me here to share with my sisters, because I feel like all of you that the struggle for women is our struggle.
Saudi women aren't allowed to drive themselves to work or even to the doctor's office.
The atrocities and the disadvantages perpetrated on women in the name of Islam are real and they're manifold.
Serious sexual harassment and attacks on women in Egypt. Groping, stripping, and rapes have become increasingly frequent.
Mutilation of the body, acid violence.
There has been a wave of killings specifically targeting girls who study or women who work.
There's a terrible fear of the educated, empowered woman.
I have the right of education. I have the right to play. I have the right to sing. I have the right to talk. I have the right to go to market. I have the right to speak up.
The Taliban targeted 15-year-old Malala Yousafzai and her friends. He asked for Malala by name, and then he shot her.
This is one of the most alarming human rights issues in the world.
This is being done in the name of some ideology that is full of violence and hatred.
The causes of crisis have everything to do with the part of tradition and religion, which are clearly about the oppression of women. It's the honor system.
Concept of honor, it's very difficult to explain it to Western societies. A lot of it has to do with how women behave and the sexuality of women.
Honor is something that is carried and contained in women and is there to be guarded by men.
The honor of a family is vested in a woman's body. The honor of a family is vested in what she does and what she says. His honor is connected to what she does and says. It's a misplaced sense of honor.
It's a harmless word replacing control of male over female.
For me and for the girls and boys, because we support boys too, when they give voice to honor, they describe it as being like the weather. It's ever-present, it's all-consuming, it's unpredictable. It's fluid, it's never static, you never know which way it's going to shift and change. And one of the big questions we ask is, what does honour mean to you? And as soon as you ask a victim that question, straight away it unlocks Pandora's box.
Female genital cutting. Most commonly done before puberty, some young girls will have their clitoris completely removed to preserve their virginity.
Female genital mutilation is not advocated in Islam in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't appear in the Quran, but has very much been adopted by some Muslim societies.
My cousins were just going for circumcision the next day, so everybody was preparing food and they're making big event. So I was in my uncle's house, so I went, I had small booklets on how harmful circumcision is, and I sneaked up to his room and I gave him the books and I told him don't do that. You know what happened? He came because his eldest daughter was circumcised. He came crying and he really asked his daughter to forgive him, and he refused for the other two to be circumcised the next day.
When we're talking about the root cause of addressing gender disparity and empowering women, we do have to look at child marriages.
There's a real kind of a lack of an understanding of what women and girls face once they're forced into a marriage, right? I mean, these marriages are consummated through rape.
During sex, I was crying and begging him to stop, but he didn't listen. Then he put his hand on my mouth like this. I couldn't breathe, and I was crying, but he used me anyway.
My sister suffered a horrific marriage.
She was a 15-year-old in school that went missing from education, as they still do today, and nobody noticed her missing. And she was gone for 9 months and came back as someone with his wife. You know, she missed so much school that she was put back into my year at school. She had a wedding ring on her finger. She spoke English. She just in the middle of her GCSEs. And she never wore Western dress again. And nobody stopped to ask the question why. And I reflect upon that when she died. Because she set herself on fire and died, and that's the last picture I remember her looking like that.
A mother and father accused of dousing their teenage daughter in acid. Her crime, looking at a boy. She turned to look at him. I told her before not to do that. I started beating her. Then her mother brought the acid. It was her destiny to die this way.
I don't think people are aware of just how prevalent it is, and that it is happening in the United States, that it's increasing here, and that it's not such a fluke when it does happen.
Her parents beat her after seeing her with a boy.
Police are saying the teen was abused because she didn't want to go through with an arranged marriage.
Georgia police say he strangled his daughter to protect his family's honor.
Muzamil Hassan is accused of beheading his wife after she filed for divorce.
And allegedly run down by her own father for becoming too westernized.
There was a case in Texas of Sarah and Amina Saeed who were murdered by their father, but what we found out afterward is that they had been regularly abused, they had been sexually abused, that they went to school with bruises, and normally a teacher or
counselor has the responsibility to report that to the state, and the child should be removed from the home. But these girls went to school every day with obvious signs of abuse.
That, I have to say, is a practice that is happening all the time up and down the UK, where girls are presenting not believed, or people thinking, don't lift up the hijab, don't want to check the bruises. And she's actually saying, I told them the bruises were there, but they wanted to be careful.
We shy away from criticizing anything that's different because we don't want to be seen as the type of people who would restrict people's expression, you know, and I think that that's very, very well motivated.
Why is it that everybody's afraid to say that Muslim women are deprived of their humanity?
Because people are, you know, slapped with these labels of being an Islamophobe, and people don't want to speak out.
And when you do dissent, you are threatened, you are bullied, you are intimidated, and that's happening here in the United States.
My mother, when I started the organization, the first thing out of her mouth, she said, you're gonna get killed.
I've had fatwas, I've had death threats, I get hate mail.
The threats to rape you, burn your face with acid, I'm afraid all the time. But that doesn't mean you can't also be courageous. It's very, very easy to break a twig or a stick. But when you bundle them together, you can't break that.
By us coming together, showing a united front, I'm sure we can defeat this.
Those, in my opinion, are the courageous women. And we need a lot more courageous women and men also working together to fully liberate women all over the world so they can have a life of meaning and purpose, not just being indentured to a culture or a custom that is a patriarchal system. I'm going to share some thoughts now about the deep state. Recent revelations as of yesterday are now confirming many of the thoughts that we have shared with you. I'm going to share some insights from Larry Chin from Global Research, who I respect, because what was the first thing that Donald Trump did? His first act as president, if you remember, was a visit to CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, where he addressed a gathering of the CIA employees. His journey directly into what is the swamp took place almost immediately after his inauguration. Well, I think he was extremely naive, but I've shared that with you in the past. I believe that, unfortunately and regrettably, our president is the most intellectually stunted and limited president in American history. He responds as a 14-year-old petulant boy. And so he'll do things without thinking of the likely consequence, or even look deeper than superficial comments. What do I mean? Just use the CIA as an example. The CIA is headquarters of the deep state. I explained this almost a year ago in a special interview with Danny Sheehan. Mind you, the deep state and the shadow government are one and the same. It is the nexus of criminality. It includes the Bushes, the Clintons, and the world manipulating and managing elite. The CIA enjoys a virtually unlimited black budget and virtually unlimited power that is beyond the reach of law and beyond the control of the White House. Yet, here was Trump ingratiating and sweet-talking the agency that, under the order of John Brennan and on behalf of Hillary Clinton and the Bushes, actively engaged in unprecedented efforts to destroy him. Here's what he said, quote, "Nobody feels stronger about the CIA and the intelligence community than Donald Trump. Nobody, and I'm so behind you. You're going to get so much backing. You're going to ask, please, Mr. President, don't give us so much backing. You're going to do great things. We have not used the real abilities we have. We've been restrained. We have to get rid of ISIS. Radical Islamic terrorism has to be eradicated off the face of the earth. It is evil. This is the evil of evil that we haven't seen. You're going to do a phenomenal job, but your job is not going to end. This is going to be one of the most important groups towards making us safe, toward making us winners again, towards ending all the problems, the havoc, and the fear that this slick group of people has caused. I'm with you 1,000%. I love you. I respect you. And you'll be leading it, leading the charge, end quote. Whoa. Forget conjugating verbs. The man is completely illiterate and uninformed. Why do I say that? Do I dislike Trump? No, not at all. He's just extraordinarily naive. He is uninformed. And I don't believe he's playing some Orwellian game. How many people attending his speech, the people he expects to lead the charge, are in fact the managers of the Islamic State assets, the very creators and managers of ISIS? The CIA is, in fact, the very sick group of people responsible for orchestrating international terrorism and untold atrocities. How does Trump plan on the CIA ending Islamic terrorism when it is the institution he loves and respects and is the institution that foments and continues to spread this fear and havoc? Does Trump know that the CIA is, in addition to being the world's leading manager of terrorism, also the propaganda ministry of the United States? Does Trump realize that the CIA controls the corporate mainstream media organs that relentlessly and savagely attack him around the clock? And that many of the individuals that he is glad-handing may well be the very same individuals who are orchestrating the vicious propaganda and ongoing coup attempts directed at him and his presidency? Was Trump's fawning speech an admission of surrender and that he will change nothing except the top leadership, switching Brennan for Mike Pompeo because he believes nothing needs to be changed? What did he mean when he said that the CIA had been restrained? In what way is the CIA ever restrained? And more aggressively today, are they acting than at any time in the unsavory history? Unrestrained? Mr. President, I've never seen anyone who is so incapable of reason. The magnitude of terrorism and violence and criminality and war has reached unprecedented levels to the brink of world war. Will the CIA therefore be allowed under Pompeo and Trump to continue engaging in even more terrorism, false flag operations, regime destabilizations and coups, assassination, narco-trafficking, financial fraud, corruption, media control, disinformation and treason on an even greater unrestrained scale? Trump openly supports enhanced interrogation and torture, which means he supports methods perfected and utilized by the CIA. To head off political pressure, Trump said he will allow Defense Secretary Mattis, who is against torture, to overrule him and allow Mattis to decide on a case-by-case basis whether to torture prisoners. Is Trump's unapologetic enthusiasm for torture an example of what he expects to be among the unrestrained abilities and the great things he wants the CIA to display? As written by former CIA veteran Victor Marchetti in the classic expose, The CIA and the Cult of Intelligence, the CIA does not, quote, function primarily as a central clearinghouse and producer of national intelligence for the government. Its basic mission is to, quote, that of clandestine operations, particularly covert operations, in the internal affairs of other nations. Nor has the director of the CIA a dominant or much interested figure in the direction and management of the Intelligence Committee, which he supposedly headed. Rather, his chief concern is that most of his predecessors and the agency's current director was in overseeing the CIA's clandestine activities. So there's also the management of entrenched CIA businesses, which include looted and laundered trillions in secret bank accounts and shell companies, and the management of a vast network of CIA political assets throughout Washington and the corporate world. My guest yesterday, a 17-year CIA veteran and an analyst, said that there are currently over 10,000 CIA locations in the United States. What, if anything, does Trump intend to do, for instance, about the massive CIA enterprise that remains in the control of the Bush-Clinton network, which is bitterly opposed to Trump? While there may be CIA operatives, employees, including current and former veterans, who do not support the criminal operations of the agency, these rank-and-file operatives have not dictated CIA policy. Not from its inception. These good guys are the minority, and the reform and whistleblowing efforts have largely been in vain and met with deadly force. Is there any sign that Trump and Pompeo seek to reform the CIA at all into an institution that answers to its own government? Or do Trump and Pompeo merely seek to somehow co-opt this above-the-law apparatus, restraining its worst elements towards their own designs, whatever that may be? Trump promises a total war against Islamic terrorism and ISIS. How does Trump wage a total war against Islamic terrorism when the agency of which he is the biggest fan, that he supports 1,000%, is responsible for the creation and ongoing use of Islamic terrorism as military intelligence assets of Anglo-American geopolicy? Does Trump realize that the CIA's funding and arming of ISIS, including al-Nusra and al-Qaeda, is all done in secret by the CIA? Does Trump understand that the CIA is responsible for decades of false flag terrorist operations on a grand scale? Trump seems to believe a variation of the consensus that the CIA is a good group of people. By what measure? Does Trump's total war on terrorism include waging war against the vast network of CIA assets that are currently engaged in destabilizing operations in the Middle East? What is his plan for the Free Syrian Army or al-Nusra, all of which are CIA fronts? How can the existing network remain in place without disaster? Will Trump pit officially sanction U.S. military forces against the CIA proxies that have been working on orders from the Obama administration? Will Trump shut down ongoing military intelligence operations throughout the region? How will he cut off the funding of terrorists, including terrorists in Saudi Arabia, our partner Qatar, our partner Israel, our partner, and Turkey, our partner? What will be done with the hundreds of proprietary cells and CIA-aligned foreign intelligence networks? Many have compared Trump's professed anti-establishment goals to President John F. Kennedy's fatal efforts to take down the deep state and the CIA. I believe that the only reason that the people went against JFK was because they knew they had the power in place from the deep state to get away with it. Now, a few more things that I think are important here. One is, I'm going to share some insights from the Mass Private CIA Signature School is creating smart cities. I thought this was extremely disturbing. Pegasus Holding Corporation, PGH, a trademark of Mobile Arch Partners, MAP, is working with the Department of Homeland Security and the CIA and the Department of Defense and Department of Transportation to create total surveillance smart cities. The Center for Innovation Testing and Evaluation, the University of New Mexico, and numerous high-tech companies are helping design smart cities that will spy on everyone. 2 years ago, PGH announced their plans to spend $1 billion to build a full-scale mock-up smart city complete with surveillance cameras, microphones, Bluetooth monitoring devices, license plate readers, and probably Stingray cell phone surveillance equipment. What this means is the federal government have designed a mock-up city specifically designed to perfect their surveillance of citizens. On November 10, 2016, CIA Director James O. Brennan met with then-NSSP scholars following his announcement that the University of Mexico is to be designated the first of the ICCA signature schools. An article in Albuquerque Business First says, quote, the program will deepen cooperation between the CIA and the University of New Mexico. Well, this is unbelievable. A CIA signature school is designing smart cities. And just 2 weeks ago, it was revealed that Department of Homeland Security, General Electric, Intel Corporation, AT&T, We're installing more than 3,200 cameras and microphones in San Diego, making it the first large-scale use of smart city surveillance. You can bet they used the mock-up smart city in New Mexico before installing it in San Diego. So how did this happen? 2 years ago, a CIA signature school helped create a large-scale mock-up of a smart city, and now thousands of spying streetlights are being installed in cities across the country. Unfortunately, the Shop Spotter and General Electric were working together to install spying streetlights in cities across the United States, and now it's come true. And the University of New Mexico claims to have 100% job placement programs with the CIA, the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, and numerous other government agencies. And the University of New Mexico also has numerous Homeland Security courses. And a Google search of the University of New Mexico and Homeland Security returned close to 1 million hits. So why is there no mass media coverage about CIA-run smart cities? According to PGA, Homeland Security is a key component to designing smart cities. Quote, Homeland Security is a key component of the plan for the cities, which will include a secure testing area for first responder technology with the benefit of proximity to the civil and commercial infrastructure. Well, who's working on this? Who's a part of it? Cisco, Siemens, IBM, Microsoft, General Electric, Intel, AT&T, Samsung. And so what have we learned from WikiLeaks yesterday? Well, we learned, for example, that your Samsung television, we told you this over 3 years ago, it's watching you and recording everything you say in your home. If you happen to have one in your bedroom, they're watching everything you do in the bedroom or the bathroom. In your car, they're monitoring everything you're saying. They're recording everything you're saying, tracking where you're at. Now they want a city. So listen carefully, because this is happening now. The government, the federal government, including the deep state and the CIA, do not want you to be able to talk with anyone, be anywhere, do anything without them being able to record every single thing you do from the time you wake up till the time you go to sleep. Everything they want to have on you. Why? And you know the bad part about this, I expect this from these sociopaths, is people are not concerned. They don't care. That is a big concern to me. When we allow people to be so egregious and how far they step over all boundaries of propriety, then shame on us for allowing the government to have such overreach. And that's what they do now. We're going to close out our program today by listening to the CIA director, John Brennan, admit to chemtrails. Now remember, we have done about six programs on chemtrails, full programs, and this goes back almost 20 years. But the mainstream media refuses to touch it, but now Brennan, the head of CIA, before the Council on Foreign Relations, is talking about stratospheric aerosol injection. That's chemtrails. So will they still stay silent when one of the insiders is talking about it and what this means to us? Listen to John Brennan right now.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly. As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community. On the technical side, greenhouse gas emission reductions would still have to accompany SAI to address other climate change effects, such as ocean acidification, because SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. On the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations. Others might seize on SAI's benefits and back away from their commitment to carbon dioxide reductions. And as with other breakthrough technologies, global norms and standards are lacking to guide the deployment and implementation of SAI and other geoengineering initiatives. Now, I could go on and on and on about...
You have the head of the CIA saying, yeah, now here's what he doesn't tell you. There has not been any studies done when those particulate matters, which are heavy metals, come out of the sky, which they do, and are shifted in wind and go into places and where people breathe them in when they go on the ground into the water supply. And we then consume that, which we do. We already are overburdened with airborne pollutants, and now these are all heavy metal airborne pollutants. The numbers would be in the quadrillions. That's how much they would spray. Just so they could reflect it, why not close down the nuclear power plants? Why not close down the coal plants? That's what we should be doing, and we're not, and that's unfortunate. So what we have now is we have an out-of-control government that is now not afraid to come forward and tell us what they will do against our best interests. And by the way, when it comes to rebuilding infrastructure, we have massive problems with our infrastructure, as we've seen by recent flooding, which is only going to get worse, roads breaking up, bridges collapsing, tunnels collapsing, dams being breached, levees not adequate, and of course the massive deforestation and erosion of our topsoil over the last 50, 60, 70 years. Here is Trump's idea, and this is why it's so bad. He wants to brag about spending $1 trillion on infrastructure, but he wants to do it in public-private cooperation. What does that mean? Let me give you the actual face of public-private deals. It means that these merger corporations, the equity partnerships, the hedge funds will all line up. They'll come in and say, okay, give us the contract to build a bridge. All right. Have you ever built a bridge? No, we've never built a bridge. We've never built a tunnel. We've never built a highway. We've never built a dam. We've never built water or gas lines. But give us the contract, and what we're going to do is we're going to take about 80% of what you give us for our profits, much like Halliburton. And then we will hire subcontractors who will then get money to go in there and actually do the work, the people actually have experience doing this. And that way, everything that you do will cost at least twice and sometimes 300% more than if the government did it itself. Why can't we just have local communities do this? Well, you could. But then the people who profit always from having people like a Trump in the White House or a Clinton in the White House or an Obama in the White House, they wouldn't be able to make the enormous amount of money. And why do you think that Clinton lectured on Wall Street, giving meaningless speeches but getting, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars per speech? That's the payback. That is the pay-to-play philosophy. So the last thing, the worst thing that we should ever accept in our society is a private-public partnership. We should not have them. They are corrupt. They are vile. They are not about rebuilding anything and with quality. Let's go back to what FDR did, the last true liberal in America, in politics, in a position as president. He created the Civil Conservation Corps. He created places where people could go to work and work and make a wage and support themselves. And the quality of their work was exemplary. So we should do that again, eliminating completely the private part of this. Because when you have privatization or you have private public, we pay them, they reap the benefits, just like Halliburton. Do you know that they've got an actual contract that every single GI in Iraq and Afghanistan cannot do their own laundry? You could do your laundry for a quarter and have it clean. No, they get $100 for a single duffel bag. And you can't do your own. They must do it. They give crappy food. Everything they do is crap. And when they run overboard, who cares? They're paid no matter what. So it's time that we, the people, became aware of how corrupt our government is at every agency, at every office, how inept it is, and the total takeover of our government at the policymaking level by the corporatocracy. That's called fascism, and that's what we have today in the United States, and that's unfortunate. And the sooner we wake up to this, the better we'll be off on being able to stop it. And by the way, Clinton, Obama, Trump, in this respect, they're virtually indistinguishable. Those people behind the scenes will be using Trump as they did with Obama and with Clinton. I'm Gary Nall. I want to thank you all for listening. And remember, today, my gift is you can watch the entire film, which will not premiere until this June, of The New Healthy Woman, in honor of Women's Day throughout the world. Have a nice day, everyone.